Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, this is Man Baggage. We're talking about worrying. Does it affect men differently than it affects women? I'm joined by Ola Labib and Matty Lee. Do you think, Matty, that a certain amount of worry is useful as it shows us our limitations, if you know what I mean? Like, if you've got no worry at all, like your proper psychopath that doesn't, never concerned, never thinks about anything, it can lead to a recklessness when it comes to work. I mean, it's just thinking of sport. I'm not suggesting Lance Armstrong is a psychopath, by the way, but if you think of someone like Lance Armstrong, who's just simply not scared of anything or consequences or anyone, and fuck everyone, we saw how that story ended. You need a little bit of worry built. It's almost like a break that's like, if I do that, if I attempt, I'd love to be the first person to do a quadruple 15-meter drop, but I do quite like my collarbone where it is. Maybe yeah. I won't be.
Yeah, like, of course, like, yeah, obviously your health is like priority, because if you're injured, you can't compete or you can't train or whatever. And also, like, with the Lance Armstrong, like, obviously he clearly didn't worry and thought he was invincible, and then boom, like, obviously that all happened. So like, there is, I guess, a good type of worry in sport, but also not, you don't want too much, because then that's a detriment, and then you don't try new things when you should, but obviously you don't want to try crazy new things, you know what I mean?
But that would be a question I would ask you, so that people listening to this have got some takeout. When I'm listening to professional athletes, they often, like, I'm addicted to this high performance podcast, which is almost all athletes, but there's always stuff in there that we can use in our everyday life to try and like upgrade our high performance. Have a listen to that if you want to subscribe to new podcasts. But what are your strategies for dealing with worry that's starting to eat into a big night before? And this could be, for everyone else listening, you've got a big meeting the next day, you're getting married next week, you've got a first date, this, whatever it is, what strategies or coping, or what have you learned that's a really practical thing you can do to dial down the heart rate and to not worry? How do you deal with that?
I think mainly what I do is I have a routine and I stick to it, like, especially like the night before, the morning of a big competition, and like, it don't have to be a competition, it can be a meeting or a job interview or whatever, and then just kind of doing the, like, it's almost like a checklist. So like, you know, you wake up, brush your teeth, like, you just keep it very basic and simple, so you're not overcomplicating anything, and that's what I do, and I keep it as close as I can to that as possible wherever I am in the world. And one thing that I kind of learned to really help when I get really nervous, and that's the type of worry, like, is I can never say the word properly, like, visualization. Mm-hmm. And like, obviously when I'm spinning around in a dive, like, I can visualize me doing that. But also, like, I actually learned that from a family member who does big talks for her job to loads of people, and she'd get really nervous, and then she'd kind of visualize herself doing that, and then your brain already knows you've done that almost.
So what you visualize yourself in her example, she's visualizing herself doing it calmly and with authority and it going well, and she's visualized it so much that when she steps on the stage to do it for real, it's like a prophecy fulfilling itself.
Yeah, exactly. It's like second nature. It's when you step up onto the platform, or, you know, I don't know, a meeting room or whatever, or that little podium, whatever thing you stand against when you're doing a big talk, You're just ready, and you feel like you've done that before, so you're less nervous and you worry less.
What about you, Ola? I mean, I like that Mike Tyson quote, everyone has a plan until they're punched in the face. That's one of my favourite quotes. But because comedy's a little bit like, it is different to a talk or a dive in that you can do the positive visualisation, but if you step on the stage and as has happened, a dildo flies from a hen party in the audience. I mean, your visualization's gone straight away. It needs to be a strong visualization that carries on through that, because there's not as many constants. When you step up on the diving board, there's lots of things, I suppose, the crowd could make a noise you're not expecting, but the constants of, they're quite constant. Whereas in stand-up, for example, and a lot of jobs, you might be a teacher, you can't really tell what you're going to be walking into. So do you use anything other than visualization to help with that? Ready for the first Tyson punch to the face?
Oh, I've never had anyone throw a dildo at me on stage.
You must have had gigs where when you've walked on, you've not felt as welcome as you might have hoped.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. So there's certain places in the UK where you're not welcomed as happily as others. So I tend to expect the worst, but sometimes worse than what you think is going to happen happens. And I think Russell's with unexpected heckles. Sometimes you kind of know what kind of heckles you're going to get, but it's those really unexpected ones that really put you on the spot.
What's the worst you've had? If you don't mind, you might not want to put it out there, but what's the worst that's happened to you?
The worst is I did a gig at Wigan.
That's the end of the story. Oh, that's terrible. Oh, that's too much. We can't put that out. Oh, Matty could bloody be from Wigan. I better watch myself. Yeah, go
are
on.
Are you? Then we're definitely here for a Tyson fight.
Go on, what happened? What happened?
Someone was literally, this guy just wouldn't shut up, and he kept telling me to take off my hijab, and he just kept telling me to take it off. And I was just like, so I had to stop. And I was like, what is your problem? Like, what do you want? He was like, take it off. We don't know what you're hiding underneath there. So I was like, oh, fuck. I can show you if you want.
So for the benefit of listeners, Ola just pulled a single finger out from under her hijab and swayed down the camera. Very funny. And I bet that brought the house down, did it not?
Yeah, to the people that were sober in the room and the ones that weren't, like, high. But
have you ever considered having, like, another, like, about four hijabs? So you take one off and there's, like, another comedy one underneath. I saw Harry Hill do that with lots of different hats. He kept taking a hat off and there was always another hat underneath.
I did it one time, like, for a sketch where it was about the French hijab ban, and they were basically making people before they go into universities and stuff take off their hijab. So I did a sketch where someone asked me to take it off and I took it off and there was just another one. So it was like a Russian doll effect. So
great minds
think alike.
Yep. So listen, here's the long and short of it, people. Worrying does not help you deal with negative events. I wanted to discuss it to get your opinions. It wasn't a trick, but this has been researched. Some people believe that worry helps them prepare for a negative outcome, motivates them to do better, or shows others that they care. However, current research demonstrates that worry does not make it easier to deal with negative events, nor does it appear to have any other benefits. So we could be better off staying in the Matty camp of, like, positive visualization without necessarily expecting the worst. I'm with you, Ola. I'm a very much expect the worst and then bathe in the best if it happens. But there is no evidence that that is a healthy thing to do. In fact, quite the contrary. Worrying makes you more indecisive. 17% of men report feeling nervous, anxious, or worried on a regular basis. Worrying ramps up production of the stress hormone cortisol and makes you more indecisive, as well as makes you have more bloody heart attacks. When you're too busy fretting over making the wrong move or about all the bad stuff that might happen in the future, you miss out on making life decisions. In other words, Nike tick, just do it.
It's easier said than done, though.
Oh, God, yeah. Easier.
It's so much easier said than done. But it was really interesting you say that. I was reading about, like, some autoimmune diseases and, like, what triggers it. And stress and worry is the most triggering things that can affect you. Like, if you're stressed all the time, it increases your risk of all these things. But yeah, it's easier said than done.
Social media, we can't not talk about that, Matty. Now, you are one of the few people that I've had on here that actually has a really good excuse to be topless on your social media the whole time. It is like gold covered card where you're doing topless selfies and no one can accuse you of being attention seeking, unlike when I do it and make torso of the week, as I did last month, people, Google it. But really, when I did it, attention seeking twat is what I look like, with no excuse. Holding a microphone, telling jokes, fine. Total, I should be doing that on my social media. But do you think social media makes us worry more when we're looking at perfect bods all the time? Not yours, Matty. We have to see yours. I'm not asking you to do clothed diving. We like our medals too much.
I think so. Yeah, almost 100%. I believe that social media doesn't help towards worrying, because then you're exposed to a lot of other different body types, lifestyles, all that sort of stuff. And I think before you would have never, I guess, you're just kind of exposed to what you're around.
But do you look at other divers' social media feeds, and does it fuck you up if, like, they've turned the perfect dive into a GIF and you're just having to watch it over and over again, this triple roll?
I mean, yeah, like I have definitely looked at other, like, and like it's almost like spying, like, to see how they're doing. And I'm like, oh God, they look good. Like, damn, like, that was a really good dive. And then, but it's funny then, because then I do worry, and then I get to competition and they don't do that, because training and also social media isn't always correct, isn't mm-hmm. like it's everyone's highlight reel, realistically. And then I get to competition and they're not as good as that one training video that they did. But I do find myself worrying. And also I do, even though I'm in great shape, I'm not in the best shape right now, but I do compare myself to other divers' bodies and I'm like, damn, like, I wish I looked like that.
Has there ever been like a proper like Dave Lager diver that's good? I'd love that if like the one person representing Britain had a massive beer belly, couple of tats, shaven head, but he was the absolute bollocks. Wouldn't that be a hero we could all get behind?
It'd be great. I think there was an advert a while ago. It was a comedian, and it was like something to do with beer, and he did like a bomb off one of the diving boards, and it was hilarious. But no, there isn't really. Everyone's pretty much like. But if you go to like, if you lower a few levels down, or if you ever watch an adult diving lesson, it's the funniest thing you'll ever see.
Oh, mate, I'll have to go and watch that. Sounds wicked.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So, you could go two ways with this. We're saying social media makes us worry more, but doesn't it sometimes make us worry less because we can just scroll and not deal with real life? Just looking at pictures of burgers and watches like I do, like a loser.
No, I don't think I have the same worry as you, Matthew. Like, I think with comedy, one of the perks of it is that it doesn't matter how you look, big, small, black, white, like whatever it is, you can still do it, and you don't have to have the pressure of, well, I think people like Russell have to worry because he's a white straight male, so he's the only one. He's like, what diversity box can I potentially tick?
Working class, council estate, homeless, mother and baby shelter till I was one. Boom, in Radio 4.
There you go.
I'm diversity on Radio 4 because I'm like, hello, this is Radio 4. Oh my God, we didn't have any voices like that. I go straight to the top of the food chain there. On TV, I get muddled in with like Ollie Smythe, who went to Eton. Oh, we've already got Ollie Smythe and you're basically the same. I'm pretty sure Ollie Smythe didn't start in a mother and baby shelter in Enfield. Anyway, fair play.
Oh, shit. I forgot what I was going to fucking say now.
Sorry. We started from scrolling to avoid our worries and trying to look at other people who are like us and trying to make a point of difference and comparing ourselves to other people on social media. Do you do that, Ollie? You seem supremely confident. I can't imagine you doing that.
You'd be surprised like how much. So I feel like especially like on TV in the comedy world, you're kind of boxed. So every black man is competing against every other black man. Every Muslim, there's a competition. When I'm doing comedy and there's other Muslims, they'll send it to me. They're like, oh, have you seen her? Oh, she made it to this. Oh, have you seen her? She got this. And it's just like, I don't really know the purpose of it. I was like, I don't give a shit. Like, we're two completely different people. It's just so annoying. But they feel that, they think that that puts pressure on me and makes me worry. But in actual fact, comedy's so diverse. Just because this is like my ethnicity, I don't really joke about it that much. Like, there's more to me than that. So I don't really, really worry at all. Like, I scroll and watch lots of, when people pop their spots and stuff. Oh, I love it.
If it makes you feel any better, I get quite a lot of, sorry, we've already got Jason Manford. I'm like, what is that? What's that got to do with me?
You're so different and they don't get it. It's so annoying.
The best one I ever had was, we've already booked Miles Jupp. If you don't know who he is, lovely bloke, you know, very well-spoken, sort of cricket commentating, elite educated chap. It's like, oh, great. Well, you've got that covered off him. We're the same person.
So fucking... we've already got an Asian on the line. I'm like, I'm not fucking Asian. I'm from Africa. And they're Hindu, I'm Muslim. It's two completely different things. But no, I get it. It's massive. It's a massive mistake.
What about like wealth comparison on social media? I feel like that is, back in the day, it was enough to open your front door and see that number 32 had a newer car than you. That was stressful enough. Or learn that your cousin has got married to someone more successful than the person you've bagged. That was enough, wasn't it, to have your aunties or your mum giving you praise. Now it's like the whole world, like, oh, Rihanna's got a nicer ass than me. I'm like, what the fuck am I worrying about Rihanna's ass for? I've literally never met her.
I used to have those issues with body, because like, I see people, like girls with these like tone, not six, but like proper toned stomach. I could, but the thing is, I don't give a shit because no one's ever going to see my fucking stomach except for my husband. So I really don't even care. But back then, like, I get that people compare themselves, especially with wealth. But do you know what? Like, my dad always says money comes and goes, and you may have something that they want that you don't kind of know it. So someone can be a multimillionaire and have loads of health issues, and I could be like on minimum wage, but I could be the healthiest person. So with these kind of things, I reckon like in certain moments you care about them, but overall, like, I'm actually lying. I fucking look up to millionaires and I'm like, why aren't I there?
I really enjoyed Dubai Playground of the Rich on iPlayer as well. Recommendation. What about in a relationship, Matty? Do you need to be, because you seem like quite chilled, not too much of a worrier, is it better if you're with someone who is across things? Like, me and Lindsay are probably the other way around. I'm more of a worrier, where she's like, don't worry about it, it'll be fine. And you need sort of one of each. You need one person keeping you chill and one person going, yeah, but let's buy some masks online just in case.
Yeah, I think that's definitely, I think that works better, because if one person isn't worrying, the other does, and then it like kind of works right. But I wanted to say, like, with my generation, I think everyone is just constantly trying to show off what they're doing, and like, you know, and like, oh, I'm out at this nice meal, and like, it's Valentine's Day today. Like, I can just keep seeing like loads of people like posting. It's nice. It is nice. I'm not like complaining, but at the same time, like, it doesn't matter what you do, but it does make other people worry. Like, I'm just like, oh God, I've got nothing to post about someone that I love. I mean, I love obviously my mum and other people, but you know what I mean? Like,
don't post that, Matty. I'm just giving you a bit of advice.
Man to man.
At 23, please don't post a Valentine's love message to your mum after this.
Please. Oh, that'd be so
I'm just looking
cute.
Out for you, bruv.
That's funny. But also, I think the generation below me, like, I don't know what it's called, but I think they will have more of a, like, I think they genuinely will try and stay away from social. I don't know. But, like,
I'm wondering if that's the next backlash, like, less social media use.
Yeah.
Like, that's the next natural progression, is to reject it. Like, you know, the way people sort of 16 to 18 to 21 are rejecting alcohol and embracing celibacy and doing all these things from like generations ago. It's called straight edge. They're on straight edge. They're all sober and virginal and stuff. And that's their rebellion against the sort of dominant culture. So maybe we'll chuck social media. Listen, I would love, we've got 2 minutes left, and I would love to wrap it without asking this one. I'm not doing it to make you feel awkward, but when we're researching this subject, I'm afraid this is one of the number one worries that men have. In fact, it's the highest percentage worry shared by all men. 45% of men worry you guessed it, about the size of their dicks. That's right. I mean, obviously, for a highly chlorinated diver, I would imagine it's a lot higher, the statistic. But 45% of men aren't satisfied with the size of their penis, according to a 60-year research review from the UK. So even our granddads were stressing about the size of their Hamptons. That's rhyming slang, Hampton Wick, if you're not from London. But while a lot of guys stress about their penis being too small, the Cosmopolitan poll, and Cosmo is a mainline into real women's brains in my experience, guess what percentage of women don't give a shit about dick size? 90%. So this really is an issue that's in men's heads, mostly, apart from the 11% of women who like an absolutely massive dong, clearly. That, I mean, it'd be just my luck to only date those for the rest of my life. Not that I'm not hung like an Elizabethan peasant, obviously. But we like to think that we're in this sort of 2022 post-gender educated liberally, you know, we're post-body, and then the most basic part of your body that designates you as a man, billions of years in the evolution seed pod, that makes no difference really to your spiritual self, is still the one unifying worry of every man, Gen Z and Gen A, because I'm guessing it starts again from the beginning after Z. So Gen Z and Gen A, all the way up to granddads, boomers, share this worry. Is my willy too small? I mean, is there any hope for men? I know a lot of women worry about the size of their breasts, but it's a different issue, in my opinion, because in the society we live in, most clothes and are designed in a way that women, it's not something women can hide with. Men aren't walking around unless they want to be arrested with their dicks out. Admittedly, I was in Asda. It was a low time. But do you know what I mean, Ola? I'm not suggesting women don't worry about their bodies, but to me, it seems like such a pointless worry, if you pardon the pun, for men to worry about. I would worry about not having a dick, but it'd be pointless. No, for men to worry about that.
What's the maximum age on that poll?
Well, it's a 60-year research review showing that 60 years ago, probably men in their 20s and 30s were worrying about the same thing. So it's not like it's a recent thing that due to feminism, men are conscious about their willy size and pleasing women. This predates feminism. Men have been fixated on not being well hung enough before feminism. So we can't even do like misogynistic, feminists have made us, done this to us. We can't even say that. It seems to be an intrinsic male worry.
Well, I don't know. There's a saying that says it's not the size of the boat, it's the motion of the ocean.
Yeah. I think it was Priti Patel that said that. There's a different context, I believe.
Oh, God, I'm dead.
No, but seriously, I mean, you're happily married. What can you say to all the men listening to this to put our minds at rest? It's what you do with it that counts.
I think it's safe to say Matty should answer this question.
Yeah, Matty, I mean, it's not a lot is left to the imagination as you flap it in our faces in the name of a gold medal.
Yeah.
So I feel like the swimming pool is one area where you've had to get over this pretty quick. So you might have some tips, pardon the pun again. Sorry.
I think when you didn't tell us what it was, I knew exactly what you were going to say. And like, I remember the first time, I think it was like, you know, you're in school, high school, I remember, and like, you know, you're getting changed in the changing rooms for PE. I remember that was like one of the first times that people would worry, and like, I'd like, you know, like people would just turn around and like, you know, get changed really discreetly or whatever. And I remember one kid got de-kegged, and
he got what? De-kegged?
Yeah, well, his shorts came down, but also his boxers came down. Oh. Yeah, and he was traumatized for a while, and yeah, wasn't nice.
And there's always that one kid in the year who started puberty really early and has like massive balls and a hairy chest at 13. That bastard.
Yeah, and I think there's always that one kid as well, like who just is gifted.
Yeah.
Stupidly gifted.
Yeah.
And because they know it, They flap
it about.
Literally. And so, like, then you kind of, I guess you might compare yourself and like, oh, bloody hell, you know. And I think with obviously wearing trunks for so many years, like, I can't hide old, really, at all. And I think it comes with maturity. For me, it's maturity. Like, I definitely have worried about it in the past, but now I'm just a bit like, well, like, I can't change it. I have had sex, so I know that, like...
It works. Someone's showing off. Matty's had sex. Right, Matty? Yeah, so what? Have you been on holiday on your own as well?
I don't know why I said it so discreetly.
To me, it correlates with the other male worry about not being muscly enough, because those, it's strange. Men worry about the parts of their body that women don't seem to care about. And that is the difference between female worries and male worry. So girls are all neurotic and fucked up about being thin enough, flat enough, tummies, big boobs or whatever. And when you question men, sure enough, they are the things that they're pressuring women about and the things that they're looking at. So women are right to be stressed about that, because we live in a culture where that is focused on. Boom, the neurosis and the focus matches. Whereas men's neurosis, I need bigger muscles, I need to be 18 stone and have 3% body fat. The number of women actually looking for a man that, you know, looks like he's going to shit himself if he turns his neck too quickly, and he's 18 stone, he's probably going to die of a steroid heart attack when he's 50. It's not actually many women. In fact, it's hardly any. It's almost like a fetish if a woman is into that. And yet, almost every man on the planet, I'm guessing even more than 45%, would like to be bigger. For who? For whom?
It doesn't make sense, because women, like, from what I hear, no, I don't know any girl that, you know, when she talks about what she wants in a guy, she mentions how endowed he is. The number one thing that I hear is, he needs to be tall.
Tall,
way more than that. And to be honest, like, nowadays, if we can find someone that is faithful and is, you know, provides, I could, doesn't even matter if he
acorn, fine. He's 4'11" with an acorn. He's a lovely bloke. Do you know what? That would be a good would you rather, wouldn't it? Is to say, if you're born tomorrow, you're 5'6", you can either grow 4 inches in height or you can have like the best dick on the planet. It would be depressing to know how many men would stay the same height.
I've known someone who said that they would rather amputate their left hand and be 6 inches taller, which I find quite bizarre, because he was 5'3".
Do you know what? I think we're due for a height episode. I'm going to you've plugged it quite nicely. We've done it before. I think we're due for a follow-up. Height's massive for girls and boys. Pun. Again, fuck. I'm having like a pun attack. I need to terminate the recording. Thank you very much to Ola Labib and Matty Lee. If you've come here as fans of either of these two wonderful people, do hang around, hit subscribe. Do leave a review as well. Make sure it's a nice one. Otherwise, I read all the negative ones and I just sit there worrying about it all night, and then I can't get back to sleep. Goodbye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.